Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 236, recorded on December 19th, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome, and I'm so glad that we've survived yet another week. No asteroid impacts.
Yeah.
No alien invasions. No
Ebola outbreaks.
No Ebola outbreaks. I mean, that's a good week.
My phone keeps yelling at me saying more things about Ebola every week. I get another thing on my phone that says something, something Ebola.
Well, as long as it doesn't switch to something, something zombie infestation.
Yeah, well, I think that's fine. That's essentially what Ebola is, right? They start bleeding from their eyes.
Yes, Michael. Ebola is zombie.
Yeah. And Adam Christensen's here from the MacCast. How you doing, Adam?
Good. I'm wondering, when we lost Freeverse and we lost Ambrosia, we have apps that have not made their way to the iPad and may be lost for forever.
That's a really sad thought.
You know, like Ebola Monkey Bingo.
Wait.
I totally forgot about that. Hmm. Well, now I have a sad.
You have a sad.
Yeah, because no Ebola Monkey Bingo.
Hmm.
Or was it Solitaire? Might have been Solitaire. I said bingo, but I think it was Solitaire.
Ebola. Wait, that's a thing? Ebola Monkey Solitaire?
I think you're right.
I always called it Ebola Monkey Solitaire. It was Burning Monkey Solitaire.
Because he had
I always called it Ebola Monkey Solitaire just for fun.
And the funny thing is, you're saying Ebola Monkey, and all I'm hearing in my head is, have you seen my jujubes?
Yes, exactly. Oh, that's what I'm hearing too.
Yeah, Burning Monkey Casino, Puzzle Lab, Solitaire, and Mahjong or Mahjong?
Mahjong.
Mahjong. I know Steve Jobs called it Mahjong one time.
Yeah, but
He also said it was Jaguar.
It is sure Jaguar. Let's not argue about that because it is Jaguar. It's Jaguar and Hyundai, and it's also Boot.
Except the cat is
and
Jaguar.
Bonnet. Because I watched too much Top Gear.
Point being, back to what I wanted to say.
Let's get back to what you wanted to talk about.
Now I want.
They don't have Burning Monkey Solitaire or Mailstorm for iPad, and that makes me very sad.
That's a bummer.
I loved Burning Monkey Solitaire. Getting the monkeys to sing and choosing Why Burning Monkey from the menu.
I do have Jared for iPhone, and maybe we can make that a bonus pick.
I thought it was pronounced Jared. Am I just crazy for wanting to pronounce everything incorrectly today?
Yes, but we love you anyhow.
I blame Ed Kirk.
Adam, get his meds. Hurry.
My speaking meds, I guess. T-Mobile. Speaking of crazy people, let's talk about T-Mobile and John Legere, who's awesome. I love everything about this guy. T-Mobile, they had another event, their Un-carrier 8.0 announcement. And the big thing here is exactly what I was thinking about like 2 weeks ago. Like, why? We had that rollover thing with minutes. Why don't we have rollover with data? Oh, yeah, it's because carriers don't care about us. And, of course, T-Mobile came out with Data Stash, which does that for you.
Now,
you get the rollovers.
This is something that we've all lamented on this show over and over. Why can't we have rollover minutes on AT&T and Verizon? Or rollover data.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just totally makes sense. And
it makes sense from like a consumer standpoint, but from a carrier standpoint where they want to make as much money as possible, it makes perfect sense that they don't have it.
Of course, which is why for years we had to pay per text for an SMS message that cost the carriers absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Good times.
Good times.
But is there a certain level you need to get to get the rollover? Like, do you have to have a minimum plan? Or is it all plans that qualify?
Let me see. Now when you buy...
Because I'm half wondering if
qualifying
that's...
service required doesn't really specify.
Because that would be the tactic to take, right? You say...
Sure.
You say this only counts on plans that are like 15 gigabytes a month and up. You know, something that nobody's ever going to use the 15 gigs anyway. So what in essence happens is people think that they're getting something, but they're really not because they never would go over the 15 anyway.
Oh,
so
yeah. Well,
it doesn't really matter if you have 15 or 1500.
Well,
you're not using all your data every month.
Well,
you know
so
I'm
I was looking at plans for my grandmother today because she has an iPad and she's on AT&T and blah, blah, blah. And she always gets stuck with overages because it's AT&T.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking...
So she's the perfect person for this kind of plan.
Yeah, yeah. Because one, T-Mobile doesn't do the overage charge thing. They just slow you down and she would never notice, which is awesome.
Right.
And if she doesn't use it, sometimes she'll use the heck out of it. Sometimes she won't use it at all. This would be perfect for her. So I'm looking at the 1 gigabyte tablet plan, the simple choice. I think it's probably any of the simple choice plans. So, for example, for that, it says now with data stash.
Nice.
And for a limited time, anybody who asks for the data stash, you get an extra 10 gigabytes of data automatically in your data stash that you can use. So it's like a one time,
nice.
Here's some data, have fun with it. But that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So, it really does only benefit those people who would consistently go over. Kind of over there. Well, I guess not.
No, it would be consistently under, right? No, or no, probably benefit people who sometimes go over and oftentimes go under, like me. Sometimes
right,
I like
exactly.
Most months I'm in the 2 to 3 gigs, but sometimes I peak out and get to like 6 gigs for some reason. So
yeah, well, I took advantage of that AT&T thing where they bumped me from 10 to 15 gigs for
yeah. They finally
10 for life
brought that around for you.
As long as I don't change my plan, obviously. But.
Obviously. If you change your plan, then you have to send in a blood sample and firstborn and all that. So
you know, if you want to get rid of a kid easily, Adam,
yeah,
just switch your plan.
That's a good
plan.
So
now we have plenty of shared data because my wife uses under a gig and I very rarely go over 6 gigs and I have 15. So I've got a lot of headroom at this point.
Yeah, a lot of max headroom?
Yep.
Yes. By the way, I want to point out I don't have kids.
Exactly.
Because I've given them all back through those programs.
That's such a good program.
Yeah. Just change programs, and I'm like,
it's a little known.
I don't need this kid.
You know what, Jimmy? You're on your last straw. If you don't settle down, Daddy's going to change his plan. There he goes.
It's worked great for me.
It's a great plan. So we've been talking about the whole notification center widget thing that Apple's been trying to work through and how they're not really sure what they want to live in notification center on iOS, whether or not it makes sense to have like buttons and other sorts of things. They're not sure. They don't know what they
Apple's
want.
Apple's not sure about anything
no.
when it comes to apps.
No. And so they've decided, you know what, Drafts? You can have your thing back. You'll put it back in there. It's cool. And so they put that back in there, and they even added a recent drafts thing.
So can Transmit. It can have its thing back, too.
Yeah, Transmit's got its thing back. So, yeah, that's this week on Apple Waffle.
On Apple App Review Drama.
Yeah.
Soap yeah. Opera, whatever. You know, and it's... How much do you guys think it's because of the media coverage? Like, had the media not made a big stink about these two apps? Like, I feel bad for the app developers who are unknown that are getting these lame rejections for lame reasons, but they have nobody to sort of defend them publicly.
Yeah.
No, are those guys still getting hosed, or do they get reversals like this as well?
You would think... You would think that they would be allowed to have their things reinstated. but it may require more work.
About Apple, where there's so much that's arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like the app review team is pretty large, and there's not enough communication. In addition to the fact that Apple has no idea what they want.
Well, here's the problem: is that everything's so vague to the point where it's up to interpretation. And I think where Apple has really failed is they allow individual app reviewers to make that interpretation.
Well,
and
I
they don't
they
have to check any precedent or any past rulings, or like there's no hierarchy in here.
You got to think there's some precedent being set by these sorts of decisions.
No, because I guarantee you, next time Transmit goes to submit their thing, they could fully get rejected for exactly the same reason again, because they got Billy instead of Anne.
Yeah.
This time,
okay. Well, I want to see that. I want to see that happen. We're going to keep an eye out for it. And I'm sure because the media is all riled up about it,
but
we'll see if that happens again.
This has a simple solution, though, I think.
What? Get an Android phone?
Is that there should be a hierarchy of app reviewers. So what Apple should do is they should have a second tier sort of review panel for any app that gets rejected at tier one. And maybe they have this already. If they do, they're doing a horrible job. But my guess is they don't have it. Like if an app, especially if it's an app that's already been approved and it's just been submitted for like updates or revisions, if it suddenly, approved app comes back through as a revisions, gets rejected, it should immediately go to like a higher level. Hey, double check the person who just rejected this, because they may not have interpreted this the way we really want it to be interpreted. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Shouldn't there be a vetting process for rejected apps, especially ones that were previously approved and it's just an app update?
You would think, but I'm betting that's not in place, because if it was, we wouldn't be having this conversation
exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. It doesn't feel like that to me. So that's why I'm assuming that doesn't exist, but that seems like an easy fix to me, right? Is you put someone who can like sort of veto the lower court's ruling on the app.
I like it.
Yeah. And it should just happen automatic. The developer shouldn't have to go to an appeals process at stage one. Now, if it gets the second tier guy and they reject it, and then the developer still disagrees with the rejection, then they can enter in that process that Apple has. Because Apple does have a process where a developer can say, hey, I think this is bogus. I think I should be able to have this app, right?
Yeah.
Or this change go through.
I think that they probably have some kind of organization in place like this. Because if you remember, we had a lot of stories like this a year or two, three ago. Oh.
where the
App Store was new. But the thing is, that died down, and it has only resurfaced with the new stuff that's been added to iOS 8.
Why is it resurging?
I think it's because they just haven't made a decision. They don't have a concrete decision on what they want to see out of these newer features. I think they probably do have precedent set for a lot of the stuff, but the newer stuff, they've got
new stuff like Notification Center or the one that hit Transmit was like documents, iCloud documents.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what's going on. I think it'll die down after a while once they distribute their new regulations.
But as I said, the problem for Apple, though, by not vetting this stuff internally before it goes to the media, is they look stupid.
Yeah, well, Apple needs to look stupid when they do stupid things.
But they could easily avoid it. That's what I'm saying.
Of course they could
avoid this problem by having, an internal process where this gets escalated, right? Before they go back to the developer and just be like, oh, no, you're rejected because Billy interpreted this differently than Sally.
Well, maybe senior Billy.
That's been consistent, though, since the App Store opened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't have much faith that's going to change anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
Yeah. So Apple has put out its third iOS 8.2 beta to developers. And
do you run the betas?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I want to, though. I was thinking about downloading it for my iPad today. I was actually pulling up the site, and I just didn't get around to it. I thought I was on the betas for a while, and I guess you once you get to the GM release, it kind of yoinks you off the beta releases. So I gotta reinstall.
Right, that, you gotta re-download the once it's been through the release version. Exactly. Yeah. So I stopped. I always stop doing the betas after the official release of, you know, whatever the last OS was.
Yeah. So, but as far as newness, it doesn't seem like there are any newer things with this new beta other than fixes and tweaks and that sort of thing.
They're going to fix the jankies. Hey, you know what? One thing I wanted to comment on, because I think we talked last time about my worst bug that I was having on my iPhone was the Spotlight search not working.
No, I don't remember mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, so, and I've talked to other people who have run into this issue where you'll go into Spotlight in iOS 8.1 point, what are we on, 1.1 or 1.2?
1.3 now with
1.3.
That, with that fix for the ringtones.
Okay, yeah, 8.1.3. You go in there and I would pull down, you know, to get to the Spotlight search and I'd start typing and literally no results would come back. It would just be blank and it was driving me freaking batty. I ended up just rebooting my phone, and it seemed to resolve the issue for me. So I wanted to throw that out for people, and it hasn't. The problem hasn't come back. So luckily, that seemed to be an easy fix. And I don't know. I thought I had done that already, but apparently I hadn't.
I seem to reboot my phone maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. It's not uncommon for me to reboot my thing. Although iPad, not so much.
So I just wanted to throw that out there because there I have had other people say they were having that issue, so you might try that.
Cool.
So on that same sort of, hey, it isn't an ongoing problem, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I was bitching about not having the search keyboard on the remote app for new version of Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It appears it's a transient problem because I have been able to see the keyboard sometimes. So it doesn't look like someone decided we don't need to have an on-screen keyboard in the remote app on our iPhones anymore. Just someone has janked up the code so that it isn't showing up consistently.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, at least it's still there. And for what it's worth, just addressing the masses, RE, the whole YouTube thing. The YouTube app on the Apple TV is fine. In my opinion, although the YouTube app we had a little discussion on Twitter. Yeah.
We did.
But the I hate the YouTube app on iOS. I think it's frickin' terrible for many reasons, such as what's with the whole, you have to minimize the video and then swipe it off screen to close it. What the hell are these people smoking? Here's another one. Why do they have to have the play pause control in the very center of the video? Why can't we just use the standard iOS playback controls where it makes sense and is not hard to see all the time? And I would like to know what time it is when I tap to see the controls. Any app that I'm putting all apps on blast.
You're talking about how far into the video, code on the video, or you're talking about the time
of day
on iOS?
What the hell time is it? I want to know because I've been sitting here watching this like
apps do that.
Yeah, though. All apps that do that, I'm putting you on blast. We have giant phones now. There's no reason to sacrifice 5 frickin' pixels,
That drives me batty, too. You're right. I mean, there's many apps that I run where it's like, can you just please let me see what time it is?
Yeah. For what it's worth, there is a workaround. I'm not giving them that as an excuse. You still have to fix it because it's terrible. But you can pull down your notification center and then it'll give you the time. But that's stupid.
Here's a funny thing. My workaround, I wear a Pebble now.
Watches. What are those? And then the third thing I hate about
it's a conspiracy.
It'll soon be an Apple Watch, so
send me your Pebble.
Might come back to you, Michael, and be like, "Well, dude, just get an Apple Watch.
Yeah,
stop your bitching."
Right? Yeah, that's a great solution. And then the one other thing I hate about the YouTube app is the whole there's no hierarchy of what's going on. So it used to be that you pull up a video, you watch it. Oh, what's that other thing? And you click on it and you do the like YouTube hole thing, the black hole of YouTube that you go down. And right. maybe you want to like go back one to see either the video you were watching or maybe get the previous suggestions. Maybe you were watching a video and it had like three other good suggestions that you wanted to see. So you hit one, you watch that suggestion. When you want to go back and see the other suggestions, you can't do that because there's no way to go back because, again, Google is smoking crack and developing apps.
You know what I learned on YouTube this week?
What'd you learn?
That
Mentos and Pepsi make bombs?
Whoa.
Decorating for the holidays with video projections is a thing.
That seems pretty pretty easy. It sounds like a California thing to do because there's not a lot of weather to deal with.
Yeah, there's this guy.
I guess you could put him in enclosure.
He puts a projector out on the corner and like shoots at his house. Not only that, he does like a 3D map and then maps video projections onto different surfaces.
That's pretty sweet.
And then
sweet.
Puts it all to music and yeah.
Isn't there a really cool neighborhood down in LA where you can go and see awesome Christmas lights?
There's one here in San Diego. They call it Christmas Card Lane.
Okay. I wonder if there's got to be some of those up here in San
Luis. All the neighbors and houses like go all out and yeah. each house kind of has a theme.
Like Griswold up their house.
Yeah. And people drive there and just walk around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see one of those.
But yeah, I'll have to find the guy before we do our picks, and I'll let you guys know. But it's kind of cool. The only weird thing is to me, this came up with my family, is like he then sells the projections, and most of the content is like Disney content.
Cool.
Whoops. Like, how is he not shut down?
I'm for it. I like it.
And like $20 a pop for... You know, like the video projection that has all the clips from Frozen in it. Awesome.
Oh, I see. I wouldn't go.
How would you not get shut down?
I wouldn't go movie content. I would go like projecting like Santa Claus and like maybe lights and stuff. Like projecting twinkle lights.
He pulls stuff from actual movies.
I guess that's fine.
And also audio from the movies.
We don't need audio.
Major music. Artists and stuff like that. Well, it's a whole audio visual experience, right?
Oh, it's an experience.
You're gonna do this.
So 3D.
Anyway,
can we get 3D?
That's this week in YouTube.
This week in YouTube. Yeah. Apple employees are getting sweet in-case backpacks.
Are they that sweet?
They don't. I was like, oh, that looks pretty sweet, and then I read that it's the $60 in-case backpack, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably not as cool.
Better than usually a kick in the head.
But, you know, that's true.
Jimmy Fallon's giving away iPad Air 2s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, so it seems like Jimmy's the better place to go.
Yeah, I would try to go on Jimmy. What's this? Oh, that's a really tall backpack that they have on InCase. But yeah, so it's an Apple-branded InCase bag. I have one of those from WWDC. I got it on eBay. These people are selling them. Yeah, you can probably find one on eBay for like $100 or so. They've been selling these new custom Apple in-case bags. Which, hey, you know, if you want to be that guy who has an Apple bag and it happens to be in-case, you could do that.
There you go.
Maybe I should dig out my WWDC bag and see how that works. Because I know I think I stopped using it when I got the 17-inch MacBook, and now I got the 15 again, I could probably fit it in there. I should check that out.
Sorry, I'm really bummed right now because I can't get into my Google account.
Nah, you don't need that stuff.
I left my iPhone in the garage. I've got two-factor turned on.
Oh, use your iPad. Can't you two-factor
here.
With your
you,
iPad?
No, no, you can't. You actually can't do that.
Can't two-factor with your Pebble?
Authenticator only works on the... Oh, awesome. Yes. Never mind. I can send it and it'll come up on my Pebble.
There you go. This is cool. Continuity activation tool. I did not know about this, but it's something that the kids in the MacRumors forums have been working on.
I have a big issue with this, but
have you been using it?
Yep.
So it's this thing. There's a select vintage of MacBooks. I believe it's MacBooks, maybe other ones, but where it has the proper hardware, supposedly, to make handoff work, but it's just disabled for whatever
reason.
Yeah,
you can even upgrade your older hardware with compatible stuff.
Yeah, so you can go out and you can get a card. And so if you have certain, like, 2010, 2011, 2012, I mean, I think maybe with 2012 it'll work, but...
Yeah, 2011 MacBook Pros like mine.
Yeah, the 15-inch MacBook Pros. I know the 17-inch ones don't work because they have the card in a weird spot, so it doesn't work. But you can buy, basically, the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth cards and replace them in your computer because, oddly enough, that's one of the few things that you can still replace in those computers and get continuity features. But now with the new continuity activation tool, you can buy a Bluetooth 4.0 dongle and get continuity working, supposedly. Mm-hmm. I still don't have continuity working well in my setup.
And here's you want to know why it's not worth it?
Why?
Because this tool, in essence, has to go in and doink with your low-level K-text files, your system extension files.
Yeah.
And not only that, with the current version in Yosemite, you have to disable the verification process for that Apple has in place to protect you from people, like, hacking around at that level.
Right, yeah, because
what could possibly go wrong?
So, one, you have to lower your security to install this thing. And then, two, once you've installed it, you're opening yourself up again for other kinds of issues on your Mac. Specifically, there's things like if you were to go zap your pram, which is something that people do quite often on Macs, it can render your machine not bootable.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not handy.
No.
That seems like a pretty tough thing to fix, too.
And then the average person wouldn't know why suddenly their machine wasn't booting. And fixing it is relatively simple. I mean, it's not a huge issue, but you do have to kind of, like, boot into your recovery partition and, like, kind of do some things, I think, to get it back.
Terminal hacking, probably. Terminal things, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to do some restoration to be able to boot again.
Yikes.
And then I think you have to go back and reapply continuity activation tool.
I would imagine it's probably less than that. You probably have to just go in there and, like, flip some bit in your PRAM using terminal. But I know they do document it.
And they do warn you, to be fair to the continuity activation tool, they do have a warning on their site that tells you about these things.
That nobody will read.
That's the problem, is people are going to read the Cult of Mac story and go, oh, this is awesome.
Right.
I can, you know, and the big deal here is they added support for, like, Bluetooth dongles. So you can
Which on the surface sounds great.
Yeah, you can get a USB dongle for your old Mac, and then now you have continuity support, except things can go really south and you won't know why, and you won't remember, oh, I installed continuity activation tool. So read the docs, folks, and go in with eyes wide open if you're going to do this. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying don't do it, but, I mean, at least know what you're getting. This is now at the same level. I treat it at the same level now as I do jailbreak.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, this is not for mere mortals to mess around with. And the problem is that a tool like continuity activation tool does make it easy for mere mortals to mess around with.
Right, yeah, and that kind of ends up being an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So don't put it on your mom's computer.
Exactly. And I'm not sure the sort of benefits of continuity outweigh the disadvantages.
I sure do like those. I mean, you still get
and buy a
SMS
Mac.
Continuity.
I would say buy a new Mac and enjoy your life.
You get SMS continuity, right, without the special Bluetooth computers, right? You can still forward SMSs, which is, like, the big, big thing. And then the second huge cool thing for me is the answering and making phone calls on your Mac, because I leave my stuff all
that
over
the place.
That
still works with that. Well, with older machines.
You know,
no,
on,
you have
on
to have
the
Bluetooth,
answering phone calls, why can't Apple come to the realization that we all have more than one Apple product? When I get a phone call, I have an iPhone, two iPads, and three computers that all start ringing at me.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, it's like having, back in the day when there were landlines, it's like when you have a landline in every room and all the landlines go off.
No, it's really not like that at all.
It's not like that at all.
Do they have a way to detect proximity?
Clearly, they
devices
don't.
Devices to one another?
No, they don't.
Yeah, that's called iBeacon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, yes, they do. They have the ability to do it.
They don't.
I just don't know if they have included that ability in all of our hardware.
So what you're saying is maybe you have a situation where it only makes the tinkle noise on one machine if they're close by, and then potential
if they're
to,
within 5 feet of each other, you only need to ring the phone.
Yeah, you can answer one. You can answer any of them, but only one makes a
but
noise.
Only one rings.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I want.
I like the insanity. For some reason, I like the insanity of everything going on.
Well, bless your little heart.
Yeah.
Well, it would be great if they act. I mean, there's a pretty decent lag sometimes too, though.
When you answer, yeah. So
no,
like
no,
I'm
not
talking to somebody on the phone, and
which device rings? Like,
yeah.
And
yes,
often
that's
my
true.
Computer will start ringing before my phone, which I can't. That totally blows my mind.
Yeah. See, my phone will start ringing before my computer, but there will be times where I'll answer my phone. And then the computer will start ringing, and it doesn't stop.
Let me tell you.
I'll go through a whole phone call, hang up, and my Mac is still ringing.
That's funny. I have not had that happen.
Had that happen either. I have had where my iPad starts ringing before my phone. It's just
that's
like
nice.
I'm like, what the hell?
What I would really like is for handoff to be something where maybe you start a phone call on your... Let's say you started on your computer, right? But then you want to like take off and you're still on the phone. It'd be real nice, especially because it's being routed through your phone. If you could just pick up your phone and continue on.
You can't do that now?
I don't think you can.
Mm. Well, that's unfortunate.
It is really unfortunate. Let me see here. So if I pull up Mr. Jeff Gamut here, and I press the telephone thing on my computer. It says I'm calling Jeff using my phone. Is your phone ringing, Jeff?
Not yet.
Okay, maybe it's got a... There it goes.
There it goes. Do you like my ringtone?
It's pretty good. All right, I bet you're glad that you... Here, you should pick it up. Okay, cool.
Hello, who is it?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Holy crap. See, this avoids right here. This avoids people calling us out on Twitter.
You can transfer it, right?
You can transfer, like, but you can't go back to your computer.
Oh.
I don't think you can. Maybe if I say that I want to call.
So what does the button look like? Or say?
It's a little green deal up at the top. You know how when you're on a phone call and you leave the phone call, but it's still... active,
right.
You have the green bar at the top. So
nice.
Yeah, so you can't transfer back, but you can transfer from like computer or iPad to phone.
That's awesome.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. Problem solved.
Well, and that makes sense because the scenario where you would want to do that is you are like just like you described, you answered on your computer and then you're heading out of the house and you're like, I want to get this over to my phone. Very rarely see it being the other way where I'm like,
sure.
I'm on my phone, I sit down in front of my computer, and now I want
to
transfer
it
to my computer.
A silly conversation on my computer, on my 15-inch telephone.
That's weird.
It is. So we didn't really talk about the iPod class action thingy that was going on, and I don't really want to get into it. Now, other than...
Okay. Apple was right, everyone else was wrong.
Yeah, and
there
shut
you
up.
Go.
Nobody Handled. Cares. The end. It's something like, hey, let's have a trial about something that was a thing 10 years ago. But there was a deposition from Steve Jobs on video that they used, where he was being snarky and cool, that a lot of people wanted to see, including myself. But
I guess the media wants to see.
I want to see it.
Well, they have a transcript.
They have a transcript, yeah. I guess I can just read it in my mind.
I think what people really want, or what a lot of people really want, is to see...
Robot Steve Jobs?
Yeah, a very sick Steve Jobs. Like, like there's the morbid curiosity. Like when people slow down at a car wreck to see if someone's hurt.
Oh, I had not... No, that's terrible.
I think that's why a lot of people want to see the video.
I guess
this was like a month. Was it a month?
No,
it was very
six
close
months.
To when he died.
It was six months. I'm pretty sure it's at 6.
That's still pretty close.
Yeah, it's cloth. Cloth? Wow.
Eth cloth?
That's because I'm searching for month when I said that. 6 months.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that far back. I thought it was closer than that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess I can read the transcript. And
I guess it was one of his last sort of video appearances.
Well, how close, how before he passed was the presentation at the Cupertino City Hall?
That
was pretty close. That was like a couple months,
no, that
wasn't
was
it?
More than 6 months.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
And you have the transcript, so, you know, if you want the information, it's all readily available.
That's
so,
not what people want, though.
No.
I don't think.
I want to hear snark.
It's not what the media wants.
The media wants to see terrible things because the media has a 24-hour news cycle and they're terrible. Yeah. So I guess the transcript is out there and you can go check that out if you want. Now, speaking of terrible media things, the BBC doc on the Chinese factory workers.
We're going to get into this?
Yeah, I guess we are. Do we not want to? I mean,
I guess we do. We totally want to get into this.
So it's they're still dealing with terrible conditions there. 18-hour work days and 18 hours. 18 is in my, yeah.
18
days. Thank you. 18
straight,
days.
12 hour work days.
Yeah, 12 to 16. And so they had a couple undercover reporters in there working, and I guess it was pretty terrible for them. I haven't watched the documentary. But, I mean, I guess it's a little bit unfair to call out Apple on this because they, I mean, they're an easy target, but this happens, I think, industry-wide.
Yes.
It is a terrible thing industry-wide. And I guess it makes sense to call out Apple in some regards because they are the most visible and they can affect the most change.
Well, and they already have been affecting the most change.
Yeah, that's where they're pointing their finger at the wrong company.
Yeah. Well,
it's not that they're going after Apple because Apple's probably the major customer for, you know, companies like Pegatron. I don't know how they compare to Samsung. I don't know the actual numbers. But I don't even know if Samsung uses Pegatron. But I mean, other manufacturers use, other companies use Pegatron to do their manufacturing is what I want to say. So it's not just Apple workers, but, you know, Apple makes the you're absolutely right. I mean, they pick Apple because Apple makes the headlines, right? They're the most visible. They're the company that most people are going to care about. And the conditions problem is a problem. And it is a problem for Apple. So I don't even think it's bad to sort of say, hey, look what we found and make the public and Apple aware of it. But the problem with singling out Apple is, as Apple themselves have said, is they do more, I'm pretty sure, more, at least from the research I've been able to do, than any other company to make sure that this kind of crap doesn't happen. The problem
Apple has said the same thing. We are doing more than any other company.
Yeah. And the problem is that Apple's contracts and the contracts for these other companies are very lucrative, right? And anywhere where there's a lot of money changing hands, you're going to have a lot of corruption. And if anything, what I think this thing shows is the level and extent of deception that companies like Pegatron are willing to take to make sure that Apple doesn't know that they're doing this really crappy shit.
Yeah.
Right? And Apple tries the best that they can, but, you know, I kind of equate this to, you know, Pegatron being a teenager and Apple being the parent. Right? I mean, if the teenager doesn't want the parent to know what's going on and what they're up to, they're going to do all kinds of lying, and, you know, it doesn't matter what the rules are.
Right. Yeah. Right? They'll find a way to game the system and do what they want.
Right. And the parent may find out about some things, but they probably don't find out about everything. You know, but that doesn't mean that the parent's doing a bad job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. totally.
And that's what they're trying to say here is like, oh, Apple's a bad parent. Well, no, they're not. They are doing better at parenting than anybody else. But you
they're
know,
a good they're, parent as best as they can be.
They're unruly. Raising a problem is a freaking degenerate.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and that's their suppliers because there's a lot of money to be had here.
Yep.
You know, and they want to get the contract, and to get the contract means having the cheapest price and producing the most volume and all the other things.
And so I think what it takes to make that happen.
Yeah. And I guess what I don't understand is what outcome do people want? Because I was thinking about this a lot after this sort of broke, and it's so the thing that I think people want Apple to do is to stop using suppliers like Pegatron, you know, stop using suppliers in China and in Asia and things like that, which they certainly could do. Their products would become more expensive, mm-hmm. right? They would become less competitive. And here's the big thing is their competitors aren't going to stop using those suppliers. Exactly. So that means one, Apple can't compete. Two, Apple will probably, you know, they survive for a while because they've got a lot of money in the bank, but they're going to ultimately go out of business because their products are, I mean, you think their products are expensive now. If they tried to deal with this by not using those suppliers, it would be astronomical.
The cost would go through the roof.
Yeah. And then the real important thing that I realized is that Apple is doing more to try to help those workers than any other company that is working with these suppliers. So if they pull out, conditions are only going to get worse for these people.
It's like you read my mind.
Right?
That's exactly what I've been thinking. Yeah. Apple being there, even though there are problems, is better than Apple not being there because Apple is proactively working to create better conditions for factory workers in China.
Yeah. And that's not to minimize this stuff. This stuff sucks. You know, as someone who consumes these products, I hate the fact that this is how this stuff gets made.
Yeah. Well, this stuff led to a rash of employee suicides in Foxconn factories a couple years ago. I mean, that's serious stuff.
Is this Apple's problem or is this the government of China's problem? Is this a World Trade Organization problem? Is this a UN problem or is this an Apple problem?
Apple inherited the problem because...
Sure.
Because that's where they went for manufacturing, but I think it's a social problem, it's a cultural problem, and it's a government problem. Because
there's so many levels to this,
yeah.
And to single out one corporation as being the culprit is, frankly, it's wrong. You know, it's like this is so more nuanced than how they're presenting it.
Well, if they presented it in the straightforward, nuanced way that it really is, it wouldn't be as interesting and as engaging for the average viewer, and it wouldn't have the sensationalized controversy that draws people in to watch.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I think there's versions of this now showing up on YouTube and things like that. I haven't watched it myself, and I fully plan to watch it, but you know, it's just more of the same. It's the same thing that we got when who was the comedian that went over there? Was it a comedian, right?
Oh yeah, it was this the guy that did some stand up stuff, and
he did the one man show,
and he wasn't actually a comedian, but that's kind of how it turned out for him. And
he was
making
show.
Up the stuff. Yeah. Who was that? I can't remember his name now.
See, we've already forgotten. But it's the same, you know, it's the same sort of thing, right? And it's the same sort of thing that has happened. It happened to Nike in the you know, 90s. This stuff is not going to go away until, like you said, Jeff, you know, it's at many levels. It's at a cultural level. It's at an economic level. It's at a political level. You know, and so they're focusing on this economic level thing, but there's really not a solution because at the end of the day, Apple is beholden, you know, not just to their customers and not just to their factory workers in China. They're also beholden to Wall Street and their shareholders, you know, their publicly traded companies. So, you know, if they did the things that socially we want them to do, they'd have all kinds of other problems. And again, at the end of the day, I don't know that it does anything to improve the conditions for the people in China.
Yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm. It's complex and it sucks, but,
it's complex.
Yeah. And Apple, again, I think that what we have to focus on is that Apple continues to try and make this different. And the one thing that I really want to watch this documentary for is, apparently from the things that I've read, it really does expose how Apple suppliers are doing things to try and hide or circumvent the rules that Apple has put in place. Like, I think one of them was that workers, before they start working, have to pass some sort of test to verify that, that they're not overly tired or they're not. And I think they said in the video, when they go in to take the test, there's an audio playing that's giving the workers the answers to the questions.
Wow. Yeah. I think that has
being passed and ready to work on the line. And so what Apple gets is the report like, look, they all passed the test. And
yeah,
Apple
that's
goes, great.
Definitely one of those things that's been going on for a while.
Yeah. And so the real problem in this specific case is that the manufacturers are being very deceitful with their business practices, and people are getting harmed in the process.
Yeah. There's going to be some serious repercussions. I guarantee you there's going to be some serious repercussions from this for Pegatron.
Oh, yeah. And that's where the big repercussions, I think, should be. And the fact that right now people are furious with Apple, okay, well, I can understand that. But they really need to be focusing their anger, I think, on Pegatron and Foxconn and whoever else all the big companies are using for their manufacturing, because this is where the problem is.
There was also the India tin mining thing that was part of this too. That's really awful and horrible.
Yeah,
but
that is bad.
Again, Apple is several layers removed from that supply chain. And yes, they need these materials, but they're not sourcing these materials themselves.
Right. Yeah. And if they decide, won't buy tin from India, I mean, they can get the tin other places, but it's going to have essentially no impact on the market, because the amount of tin Apple actually gets from India is negligible.
Yeah. I mean, and I also think this is why we're hearing reports of Apple wanting to bring more and more manufacturing back to the U.S., where there are better governmental and oversight laws and things like that, better standards. And I'm sure Apple would absolutely love if all this stuff could be done in places where they didn't have to deal with these kinds of issues. But again, at the end of the day, they're not going to be able to run their business, because we're in this global economy that works off of these regions.
That's unfortunately the reality.
Okay, so unless there's anything else to talk about,
I'm depressed.
Yeah, is there anything else?
Can we make something happy? Do we have a happy story?
We don't have any more happy stories. We can talk about picks. We can talk
unrelated
about
happy story. I've been posting on my Instagram feed every single day, whatever the new Lego thing is from their advent calendar.
Ooh, yep. Nice.
That's been fun. See, that's a happy thing.
That is a happy thing. We can do picks.
Picks can be happy too.
Okay, Adam, what's your pick?
Oh, crap. Can you come back to me? Because I don't have my iPhone with me and I got to remember what it's called.
Okay. Jeff, what is your pick?
Well, I found this app for tracking my leprosy symptoms and no.
All right, I found it.
Do you want me to go or do you want to go?
No, let Jeff go.
Yeah.
All right.
Go.
Okay. So my pick this week is actually an Adobe app. And it's an app that's called Adobe Shape, and it's for the iPhone. And what it does is it lets you take a photograph with your iPhone camera, and then it converts it into a vector line drawing. And it's actually really fracking cool. So it lets you set the level of detail for the edges that it's going to find on shapes to create its lines. And then once you've snapped the photo and it gives you that that image. Before it actually saves it, you can go and remove lines. So if you've done something like, say, you took a picture of a ball on a table or whatever, but there were lines in the table from where the planks go together, you could go and remove those. So you have just the vector shape that you want.
Oh.
And then when you save it, you can drop that into other apps. And the one thing is, like so many Adobe apps now, you do need to have a Creative Cloud account, but you can have one of the free ones. And then the content that you're creating will then synchronize back through your Creative Cloud account so that you can access it directly from like Photoshop, Illustrator, whatever on your Mac, or in Adobe's other apps on the iPhone and iPad. And it's a surprisingly cool little app. And I've been able to take some fun little photos, convert them into vectors, and then drop them into other Adobe apps and play with them there. And it's free.
Sweet.
So there you go, Adobe Shape.
Adam, are you ready?
Yes. Mine's not free. $4.99.
Well, that's all right.
But it's called Air Browser. And what it is a browser for your iOS device and your Apple TV, or more specifically, your Apple TV.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you've ever tried to do the whole, you know, people are going to say, well, you could just AirPlay Safari to your Apple TV. The problem is that if you do that, you get this really janky browser experience because in, for example, portrait mode, right? You just get this little, you know, kind of image in the middle of the screen. In landscape mode, it's still not really good. So what this app does is you still use AirPlay mirroring, but you load the app on your device and it displays the browser on your Apple TV in full screen glory and then gives you a control surface on your iOS device. So you enter URLs, you type text, you have a, you know, trackpad like surface that you can navigate a cursor around the Apple TV screen and click on things. And it gives you a really awesome Apple TV web browsing experience without having to do any kind of hacking or jailbreaking or, you know, anything to your Apple TV. So you just run this on your iOS device and you can, it's got full gesture support. So you can pinch to zoom and you can navigate around different areas. It works with things like, you know, YouTube. It has tabs. So you can open up multiple tabs in the browser and flip between them. Browsing history, all that sort of stuff, which is maintained on the phone, but then everything is presented, optimized for the Apple TV screen.
That's pretty neato.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
It's kind of rocking. So if you want to be able to like sit in your living room and browse through websites and things like that, I think this is the way to go. And some people have said it's, you know, $4.99 is too much, but I think that's a deal.
Yeah. It does awesome things. People who say $4.99 is too much need to shut up and quit buying lattes.
So anyway, check it out. It's called Air Browser, $4.99 on the App Store.
Yeah, and they have a little checker too. So if you need to check your hardware, I guess. If you have an Apple TV and a thing that does AirPlay to your Apple TV, I think supported devices iPhone 4S or greater, iPad 2 or greater, iPod Touch 5th gen, you're good. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. I'm going to buy that right now.
That's totally worth $5.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
It's totally cool. Oh, and it has a cool little on the bottom it has a little fast switcher to get either the desktop version or the mobile version of a site, which
neat.
I appreciated too.
That is really nice.
Sweet. It's worth way more than $5. Yeah. Bucks.
I'm not even sure, you know, I don't know in what scenarios I'd want the mobile version of a site on my Apple TV. It hasn't come up, but just the fact that you can do it is kind of handy.
Well, maybe if you're doing something where you wanted to do browser testing, but you wanted to be able to see stuff on a bigger screen, like maybe you're doing a site testing with a group of people and everyone needs to see what's on your screen.
And another nice feature that I immediately turned on, I don't know why it's turned off by default, but there's a feature that allows you to sort of scale the automatically scale the content. Like I said, you can pinch to zoom in on content, but you can have an option that will automatically scale the content to fit your TV screen. Right? Because obviously your TV monitor is much larger than a desktop monitor, so the site probably isn't optimized for a 60-inch screen. So it'll automatically kind of zoom into the content and make sure that the content fits the width of your screen by default, rather than kind of just being centralized with a bunch of white space on the left and right.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. So I turned that on and it was a much better experience. I don't know why that isn't the default, but it isn't.
Cool. Oh, you have to turn on mirroring too. That's another thing.
Oh, I forgot to give my my side pick if you're in San Diego.
Side pick, okay.
I went to Costco today. They have Port Brewing Santa's Little Helper for $2.97 a bottle. 22 ounce.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is it's an Imperial Stout. And rocks. I'm drinking one right now.
Port Brewing Santa's Little Helper. I think I saw that around here. That's pretty local.
It's local here in San Diego, but yeah, you can probably get it up there. Point is,
oh yeah, I totally saw
it. I don't
this.
Know if every Costco has it for $2.97, but that is a really good price.
I don't have, you have to have a Costco thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have those.
So
I don't have one.
I stocked up.
I'll just go to BevMo.
I'm set for the holidays.
Good. Okay, so my pick is, wait, hang on. Let me just write down yours. It was Air Browser. Okay, Air Browser, $4.99. All right, so mine is free, and it is the Can I Stream It app.
Oh, that's a cool app.
Yeah, it's an important app these days, because it's insane if you want to watch a friggin' movie and you want to see if you can watch it on one of your things that you like subscribe to. It's kind of a pain in the butt. So this thing, if you don't know about Can I Stream It, there's the canistream.it.com. What did I just say? Did I just say that? I did.
Did you mean it?
Yeah. Like canistream.it. No more, no .com. So canistream.it.
And you could check for it on Can I Stream It.
You could do that if you want to. But so I've been using the canistream.it website for a while, and I'm thinking there's got to be an app. I want to poke around on my phone, and sure enough, there is. So it's free. You can check it out. There's a premium version where you can you can get rid of the ads. I'm pretty sure. And you can tweak different services you want to look over. It's awesome. So just lets you know whether or not you can stream it, whether you can rent it. It's awesome. It's really
my only problem with the app is it's just a web exercise in frustration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slightly. I mean, it's a situation.
Especially when you get into like old 80s movies, you're like, there's no way they're still holding on to that one, right?
How do you? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you do the search, like, nobody's letting you stream it. It's like, come on.
Which is totally lame.
Yeah, that's when you just like look for YouTube. Don't
it's like
they?
Nobody wants to buy this movie, but hey.
But we won't let you watch it anyhow.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so check that out. It's free and good times. So with that, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. And you can check out our sponsors, of course, Smile with Text Expander and PDF Pen at smilesoftware.com. And of course, Casper, the friendly mattress company. I don't think that's their slogan. I just like to say it, but get a sweet bed from Casper.
You better hope they appreciate that.
I'm sure they do. They haven't said anything.
Michael's
cute.
He can get away with a lot.
Yeah. And of course, feedback at theiosshow.com is where you can email us about things. and advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer and at Jay Gamet on Twitter and TMO Daily Observations podcast. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome.
And Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, and member.maccast.com is the member show.
Sir.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. I'm on Appler. We're all on Appler. And are we recording on the 24th? Wait, what the heck? No, our usual day is the 26th. We'll have to figure that out. Maybe we'll do it on Saturday or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll probably be here next week at some point. Maybe.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. So with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Who wants a stylus? They have to get them and